The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Capacity, fully automatic, large caliber, freedom. Mojo 5-0. With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0. Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
Yes, yes, and yes. On today's show, we have a very unique situation because we have two hosts and somebody has to lead the dance. And so I'm going to go ahead and punt and allow my friend to get this conversation going because she has an incredible talk show, as listeners to her show know. And she also had a film career, and she's also a passionate conservative. She's a super mom. She's a homeschooling expert. She really is a polymath of the game of life in the year 2021. Sam Sorbo, welcome onto your own show and onto my show.
Yeah, don't be throwing out those big words on our show. Polymath, what the heck is that? I've never even heard that word before.
Really?
Yes.
Benjamin Franklin is a polymath, or was a polymath. He invented the first flexible catheter, the Franklin stove, and then he's also the postmaster, and then he's also into politics. But he's no Sam Sorbo.
And a publisher. Oh, very funny. Well, he's dead, and I'm still alive, thankfully.
There we go.
So
yeah,
still working.
Well, and also we have Brian Whitlock with us in studio. He is a doctor who attended the Health and Freedom event, and I thought it would be great to have him here because he was there.
Yes.
And he witnessed all that was or all that wasn't the Health and Freedom event as we packed in nearly 5,000 people at Rhema Bible College amidst the fake pandemic. And I believe
fantastic.
That it ignited some fires that we're seeing flame all across the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm hearing some repercussions over way out over here. And I did see a ton of stuff on it, but I would love to hear from him just about his personal experience at the event. Now, you called me about this event a while ago, and I very quickly realized that I had other obligations and I couldn't come. I'm now really disappointed that I couldn't do it. At the time, I was disappointed. It was hugely successful. Is it Brian? Why don't you tell us?
It was fantastic. Clay did an absolutely fabulous job of picking the speakers. It left you, even though the days were long and it was packed, it left you wanting more from each of the speakers. He had a good mix of, you know, there were doctors and medical people talking about the virus and the mask mandates and all the things that go along with that. There were ministers there. I mean, it was in addition to being health and fitness, it was a revival. There was plenty of politics and, you know, talking about the election that was false and basically it was just a great weekend. A bunch of people from all over the country met a bunch of fantastic people. It was, you know, I want to do it again.
I think what I heard that was so heartening to me is that it was very uplifting that one of the things that happened was people realized that they weren't alone, that they weren't crazy, that in fact, some of what they believed was echoed by other people, and they felt like they were getting more at the truth, which is of course what we're called to do. We're called to go and investigate to find the truth. And I love that you said that it was sort of part revival. It was part health and wellness conference, part medical conference, part political conference, but in part it was a revival. And honestly, I think we really need that.
Oh, absolutely. No, it was, echoing what you were talking about. Yeah, a good combination of things. There were a lot of people there that hadn't heard a lot of this information. And so, you know, with all the cancel culture and everything being deleted, and it's, you know, that information, the people are hungry for, and it's hard to get it out there.
You know what I found, and I had five, I just had note of five really neat, quick testimonials that happened as a result of this. Sam, this was fun, is a lot of people were calling me who were there, who were saying, oh my gosh, Clay, someone is stealing your idea. It's a copycat event happening here or there. And I'm going, that's the point. It's not about me. It's not about the whole point is to inspire other people to share the truth with boldness. And so that's what it's about. And so I am fired up. There's events now happening at Mount Rushmore. There's events happening in Dallas, Texas. These are some lockdown areas. Right. There are events happening in Wisconsin. And that is exciting. So to me, that was an exciting moment. Highlight number two, this was interesting. The Sunday after the event, we had the event on a Saturday. The Sunday after, I'm getting text messages from pastors who are texting me photos of what they're teaching from the pulpit. And one of them, it almost brought tears to my eyes. I was going to see if I could pull it up. But he basically printed off the talking points that he was going to talk about at church. And this guy was one of the strictest lockdown, wear a mask kind of pastors. He said, Clay, I honestly thought COVID was this super deadly, kill everybody thing. And I wanted to be a good shepherd. I didn't know that the models that said that 2.2 million people would die were false. I didn't know the PCR tests were falsely calibrated. And I really didn't know that the doctors had successfully treated every single patient they had with budesonide, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine. He said, so I go off to the stage after, because we allowed some time to meet the speakers. And he goes up to the doctors and he's like, Doc, I know who you are. Have you literally had no deaths? And one by one, all the doctors are going, no, there's no deaths at all. And so it changed the entire way he's preaching. Big testimony number three is mega churches. We had a massive church in Ohio, a massive church in North Carolina, a massive church in California, who've all said they want to host the next Health and Freedom event at their church. These are big, Sam. Sam, I want to mention the name of the California church, but I can't, because you know how much hell and pressure they're going to go under the moment their name comes out. But I can say it's a big time church, and a lot of big time people are going to be there. And so that was very encouraging to see. Yeah. And then I thought number four is on the streaming. We streamed the video for free, and there's nothing wrong if people want to sell content, but we wanted to make it for free. And we hit 7.1 million streams at the peak. At one point, they grabbed me behind stage. They said, hey, we just hit 3 million. And so I announced that. And I think a bunch of people started sharing it. We hit 7.1 million streams. That was exciting. And then the final two things that I thought were inspiring is Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor who was arrested in Florida for refusing to shut down his church. He calls me, and he had agreed to allow us to host the event at his church, which we're so honored to do. Remember, this guy got arrested for keeping his church open in Florida. And as a way to show his resolve, he's at church every single day in a row for like 321 days. He's calling it The Stand. He has 1,000 people every night at church for 320 days in a row. No days off. Unbelievable. This guy says, Clay, you want to take it to 10,000 people? And I go, what did you just say? He is literally, I'm not kidding. He is erecting, I tried to do a little drawing here. This is like the field house here. And he's erecting like a dome on top of this astroturfed area to get 10,000 people in there. So we're now going to have, I thought we were going to have 5,000 people in Florida. And right now I wanted to see, can you grab JT real quick? The stack of people that have requested tickets today. I want you to see this, Sam. The stack, the young lady, Rochelle, who's going to grab this. She's probably going to hurt her back there, Doc. But we're having like one person every 30 seconds now request a ticket to this event. And what we're doing, if anybody's listening to this and wants to go, we say the tickets are $250. However, nobody will be denied if you can't afford it. And so we have, if you can't afford it, we you know, because a lot of these events, Sam, you know this, it's rich people attending events that where rich people are speaking about problems that rich people have. And this shutdown has destroyed middle class America. And so we had a guy who bought a ticket for $10 for each member of his family. He's from Ohio. He paid $10 a ticket.
Wow, that's good.
$10 a ticket. He came out of his way. He found me at the event. He goes, "Hey, Clay, you talked to me over the phone. I got my tickets for $10. I thank you so much." And I'm watching as the event happens, Sam. I'm looking. I'm like, "Where did General Flynn go? We have great security." He's sitting. General Flynn is not backstage. He's sitting next to a World War II veteran, just chatting it up in between speakers. And right next to the guys who paid $10 a ticket. And the guy with the $10 a ticket, he's just crying. He's like, "This is amazing." He's selfieing it up. He's like, "General Flynn, baby." You know, and he's, so anyway, I talked to him. He's coming to Florida now. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yep. You and the general. It's unbelievable.
Hold on. I have to talk so it can see me. There I am with the general. You like that? That was just the other. And that's my book, by the way. La, 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 la.
Words of warriors. Words for warriors or words of
warriors? Yeah, words for warriors. I'm trying to make warriors out of people. We need people who are willing to stand for the truth. And if you won't stand for the truth, then you are part of the lie.
I agree. You're perpetuating the lie. My wife and I had that, not debate, we just more had that conversation last night. She won't wear a mask, not because she's trying to be defiant, but because she doesn't want to perpetuate the lie. I want to show you these leads real quick, Sam. This is crazy.
Because I'm defiant.
I'm with you. I'm a defiant individual too. Look at this. This is the stack of people that have requested tickets today. So you've got, you know, Ellen, Diane. There she is. And we do, it's the same because we don't want Antifa coming. Because you know what they do? These Antifa nefarious George Soros funded idiots, they'll buy events to a rally or to an educational event.
Tickets, yeah.
Just to
not show up, just to basically tank the rally. They did it to Trump.
They did it in Tulsa.
And that's right. And that's why they're trying now. That's why events are charging fees, like big fees.
You got to do it. And then what's happening is our team is calling these people to confirm. So we'll call like Sandra, we'll call her and then we'll talk to her and kind of had you hear about us. And they might say, "Oh, I heard, you know, Sam Sorbo, or I heard this person talk about it." And okay, well, how many tickets and what are you wanting to gain out of it? And this and that, you kind of get a feeling for them. And then, but I mean, we're going through and we have a team that's, we didn't have it. JT, we did not have a team. And then we started this for the Tulsa event. I hired you how long ago? 3 months ago?
Yeah, barely three.
And Sammy, I said, "Just keep selling tickets." And he's like, "Clay, we can't fit more than 500 people in this building." And I go, "Keep selling it. We're up to 1,000 people." Sam, I have no idea where we're going to put the people. And I'm calling all the churches and every church.
Okay,
saying,
so I was wondering, because when you first called me, it was basically the up to 500 people, which I thought would be awesome. But then I saw the video and I'm like, okay, that ain't no 500 people.
Sam, I sold, this is just a confession between me and you and everybody listening out here. Let's keep it private. We had 1,200 people I had sold tickets to. We had room for 500. And my wife and a few people close to me said, "Where are they going to sit?" And I said, "They're going to have to do the piggyback thing where you sit on someone's shoulders." That's the plan. And she's like, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Do you think that Jesus worried about the size of his venue?" And I just kind of walk off and they're like, "That has nothing to do with this." And I'm like, "Do you think that Abraham Lincoln worried about the size of the venue?" You know, I'm just trying to like come up with some, and then my kids are like, "Dad, do you have a plan?" My daughter Scarlett says, "Dad, are we going to be able to be VIPs?" You know, she's a young girl. And I said, yeah, sure. Well, and I have no idea whether we're even going to get into their own thing. And then I called every church I could get a hold of and every church said no. And I want all your listeners to fact check this. But Rhema Bible College said yes. And I'm going, okay, we'll go to Rhema Bible College. Turns out in 1963, the founder of Rhema Bible College, it's on YouTube, just type in 1963 Rhema Prophecy. The founder of the school in 1963, Kenneth Hagin, said that his school would be the place where the fight against the communist takeover of America would begin. It's a 7-minute prophecy. And I'm going, okay, so Rhema was all giddy. They're like, "Oh my gosh, it's happening." And I'm like, "What is happening?" Because I hadn't seen the prophecy yet. There's just a lot there. And Sam, I'm telling you, more and more people are being emboldened by women like you. I have a question for you, Sam.
Okay.
Here's my question.
I'm here to answer your question.
Well, it's going to sound mean. A lot of times when a woman is defiant, is intense, is pushing back, people put they call you a certain word. And I mean it. And I would like for you, we have so many female listeners that listen to this that want to fight back, right? But they don't want to come across as a certain word. Could you speak to the female listeners specifically who want to fight back and they don't want to come across as being that word?
Sure, but first I feel bad for JT. Are you okay sitting there with that huge stack of papers on your lap?
It is heavy, but I...
What time did you get here today?
4 a.m.
What time will you leave tonight?
Probably like 8 or 9.
How many days a week are you working?
Currently 7.
Yeah, and we have a whole team of people back here. All day, every day, because we have to vet... Yeah, we have to call, like the last day we had 50,000 people that called.
Yeah.
And we have to go through and sort through the idiots and sort through the real people and go through. And so we're having, I mean, I've just been praying for a team to show up. We've got members of our church showing up here. Mm-hmm. We've got a police officer that's now coming in one day a week to call and vet people and saying we're Googling everybody and duck-duck-going them to verify they're not. I mean, it's an effort.
Let me just point out, because I'm sure people who follow you know your story. But maybe the people who are watching on samsorbo.com or YouTube on my channel don't know, or Rumble on my channel don't know your story. And I just want to point out just the short version. This is not what Clay studied in college to do. This is a departure for him. And you didn't study how to throw a big tent revival. You didn't go to school to learn how to sort through who might buy tickets to an enormous event that you produced. You can say you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps. You taught yourself this business of throwing events. Yes, you are a professional event planner, manager, but that's not something that you quote unquote went to school for. And so I just want to point out to people, you're in a position right now to make this happen, and obviously to make it happen, not for 500, but for 5,000 and now 10,000, because yes, things build on each other, but everybody's sitting at home. And this goes to your question, Clay, everybody's sitting at home. You have opportunity to do the same thing, whether it's for one person, five people, 10 people, or 100. The opportunity is there. All you have to do is start reaching out. And so, you know, I do it with kindness, because I understand that people are terribly misguided these days, and I have great sympathy for them. But at the same time, I have zero tolerance for the lie. I simply cannot withstand the lie. And so, so I just talk to people and I speak my mind. And if people look, I just got threatened on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Somebody threatened to burn me. They said, I'll burn you alive. Well, that's lovely. So we're back in the ages of, you know, Joan of Arc or what? Like, crazy person. There are people out there that will hate you. And then what?
Yeah, I you and I believe in the same religious views. We have the same view of God and the Trinity, from what I can tell, and listening to your show and you and Kevin. And I believe what you're doing is really a ministry and an education piece and so much. But the Bible that we read, Matthew 5:10 through 11 says, blessed are you who are persecuted for his righteousness sake. So ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. I'm paraphrasing, but everyone should look that up, Matthew 5:11. And I think that what I was taught, and I went to Oral Roberts University, and I went to church. I think what I have been taught by example was, we need to be politically correct. We need to never offend anybody. And that, the part where Jesus flipped the tables, that's just because we shouldn't really teach that part of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and the part where Jesus was offensive, we don't want to talk about that. And then we need to just kind of go ahead and give up a little ground every day. We should never go on the offense as Christians. We should always go on the defense. And what you've been doing, I feel like the Sorbo family, you guys have been taking a stand. And people say, well, it would be nice to have been the star in Hercules or some major big movie, because, you know, it's like, it would be nice to have been a famous actor first. But you notice that you guys put your whole career, you guys had a big career, and you guys sacrificed all of that.
Okay.
For this.
I got to stop you.
Yeah.
Not a sacrifice. We didn't sacrifice our principles, our morals. We didn't sacrifice the important things. Yeah. My husband tanked his career. Yes. He knew what he was doing at the time, because I told him, and he says it to this day. He said, Sam told me that if I spoke my mind, you know, things wouldn't be going so well in Hollywood,
Right.
But there's a greater calling than that. And yes, okay, we have a very nice, he made a very nice cushion doing Hercules and not, and by the way, while doing Hercules, not compromising his morals and principles, despite the nudging and urging of the producers to do so. But the fact is that I see it as a greater compromise if you don't speak your thoughts, if you hold it inside, because then what happens? I honestly get so aggravated when I go out now and I see 3-year-olds wearing masks that it hurts me. I mean, I'm getting, my stomach's going right now, just thinking about all of these young children who are being abused in this manner.
I want to play this.
They don't contract COVID. I mean, by and large. And by the way, we still don't know what we're doing to their immune systems by forcing them to rebreathe what's supposed to be expelled air, or what we call, expiration waste.
I just want the listeners to understand this idea. There was a nice woman in my town, in Jinx, which is Tulsa. It's a suburb. And this woman, I won't mention her name, but I want to, I'm really tempted to. She reaches out to me and she says, Clay, I want to play the audio. She says, I am going to get the mask mandate lifted at this particular school.
Good for her.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it. And I need you to help me do it. I need you to help me do it. I'm going to do it, but I just need your help because I don't know what to say. And so I said,
fair enough to ask for help. Fair enough. Kudos to you. Take a stand and ask for help. I'm cool with that. You don't have to do the heavy lifting all by yourself.
She didn't know what to say. And I thought that's step one. You go, what can I do to help? So I sent her a voice memo. I'll see if I can find it. But I sent her a voice memo that basically stated, hey, my name's Clay Clark.
Stop texting while you're doing this interview because
I just wanted to play the audio for you.
I know.
But I had the, I wanted to play it for you. But anyway, so I sent her the voice memo
Let me do this.
Yeah.
You look for the audio because I want to add something else to what you talked about in Matthew. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of my righteousness. He also said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, guess what? We no longer understand what the word meek means. And it happens to be in my book, Words for Warriors, because there are so many words that the left has now polluted, convoluted, and corrupted that we don't even know what our language means. And that is the way that the left attacks God, really, because Jesus came, why? To testify to the truth, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So they're attacking God every time they take our language and pervert it. So now a man is a woman, and COVID is deadly. Although, yes, there are people who have died of this terrible disease because they didn't receive the treatment that they needed.
Right.
I'm just saying they take our language and they turn it around. Fascism is not right wing, it's left wing. But if you look it up in the dictionary on the interweb, you'll see that it's defined as right wing. There's nothing right wing about it. So blessed are the meek. Meek means power under control, which is exactly what Jesus displayed in the temple. Was he outraged? Yes. Did he go and hit people? No. He displayed power under control. And in his rage, he flipped the tables. But we don't hear that he went and hurt people with bodily harm.
Yep.
Because his outrage was confined to physical things as a display that things were wrong and they needed to be corrected. Blessed are the meek. We need to be meek. But in that way, I'm saying we need to be power under control. Go ahead.
I agree with you. So I wanted to just play this for you, just a little excerpt of it.
Great.
So here you go. This is just an example of what everyone can do. Okay. She said, I am going to lift the mask mandate at my school. First off, she said, I'm going to do it. Then she called and said, what do I need to do? So I just recorded this little.
My name is Clay Clark, and I would like to point out concerning the mask mandates, the models that said that 2.2 million people would die, those models are false. The models that said that 2.2 million people would die from COVID.
And I just laid out a 60-second, the models are false, the PCR tests are false, the treatments are real. Laid it out, and then I gave her a link that she could share. You know, everything is cited at from timetofreeamerica.com. We have all the research from all these doctors all over the world, all cited at timetofreeamerica.com. So I sent her the voicemail and the link, and I said, and just practice it, because she's terrified to go in front of the school board and talk and you know, fight back. Well, I'm just telling you, this morning I spoke to this person and she said, I think they're going to lift it. And I go, what? She goes, I just was calling people all night and I got, there's about 50 moms. We all showed up and it that's just before we hopped on today. She's like, I got like 50 moms there, Clay. And she's like, these school people were like intimidated and they just said, we're getting close to the end of the year. I think we should just lift it. And she's like, I think it's going to happen. And then in Jinx, my city that I'm in, they lifted the mask mandate as a result of the momentum from the event, and everybody can do it. I'm not that impressive. Everybody out there can do it. But I mean, seriously, I think sometimes we get intimidated.
Yeah.
And we think that, but everybody out there can do it. So I would ask you, Sam, if I'm a mother watching this right now and I want to lift the mask mandate, now if I just want to focus on that, what do you say to the mothers watching right now on a very practical level? Who maybe they want to get advice from you. Maybe they want to know just what to do. What steps should they take? For all the moms listening right now, we have a large female audience that listen to our show. What would you say?
I would say figure out when your school board is meeting and arrange to go to the school board and make some demands. And here's the problem that we have. And I struggle with this because I found myself on the side of the left when we were having schools closed. Cause I was like, yeah, keep them closed. I don't believe children belong in institutions, just by and large, generally speaking. So
I agree with you.
Right. This is a struggle for me. But at the same time, you have your rights. Now, our problem is we all went to the institution, right? And we were taught to sit down, shut up, and ask permission to even speak. Okay? So we were taught not to speak. We were also taught that we couldn't do anything that we hadn't actually been taught to do, which is why people think, I can't go and talk in front of the school board. No one's ever taught me how to talk in front of a school board. I can't ask to lift the mask mandates. I've never read a book about how to ask to lift mask mandates, right?
Right.
We are paralyzed by the inabilities that we have been instructed that we have, basically. So I also want to mention that there's a school in Miami now. This is a big story. The school in Miami, private school, started by a husband and wife, apparently very successful school. And she, the wife, actually was on a Zoom call and then issued a letter and said, if you are a teacher who has not received the vaccine, please do not get it before the end of the school year. And if you are choosing to receive the vaccine or the shot, and you decide to get it at the end of the school year, you may not be invited back next year. And this has caused an enormous outrage. She cites the idea that there is shedding from the vaccine.
Now, real quick, I want to point this out. I happen to be staying at Layla's house. Okay, so I'll be staying at Layla's house for the Tampa event. So Miss Centner, she told me, she said she's going to do that. And she says, I just want you to know, you're going to be staying. We've gotten to be friends through this. And she says,
right, so you have to give me her contact because I want to have her on. I just did.
I promise I will.
About her today or about this.
You're
going to
love her
today. And the thing is that the write-ups that you will read about it on CBS, on NBC, on CNN, I went to Vax. There's a Vax, you know, vaxtruth.org or vaxfacts.org or something. And they debunked her stance without any kind of citations. They just say crap. And it bugs me because they can't back it up. They just say, well, everybody believes it. Well, you know what? When Copernicus said that the earth revolved around the sun, everybody laughed him out because nobody believed that. But guess what? He was right. And so we have to start using our brains and using logic and our powers of deduction and looking for the truth. So Clay, years ago, while I was full-time on the air, there were two girls in Baltimore who were killed two girls who went to the bathroom and bullied another girl and beat her to death. And I was covering it on the air. And the superintendent of schools, within an hour, because it was breaking news, so I was covering it, within an hour, the superintendent of schools came out and said, our schools are safe. All evidence to the contrary. A young woman was just beaten to death in a bathroom of a public school. And that's what your comment is?
Well, okay, let's do this for a second. Let's talk about the biggest lies in America all simultaneously. And then I promise you, I'm not going to lie to you, before 3:05, I will give you Ms. Centner's phone number so you can have her on your show, because that's a wonderful woman in her school in Florida. I'm telling you, that's a dynamic woman who loves those kids and doesn't want our kids to wear a mask. And she knows that the models that said that 2.2 million people would die are false. The PCR tests are falsely calibrated to inflate the number of positive cases, and that COVID is 100% treatable. She also knows that the vaccines are RNA modifying, that on the Moderna's website, on Moderna's website right now, everybody, go to Google right now. Don't go to DuckDuckGo, okay? Because what? Because DuckDuckGo is the conspiracy site. Just for a second. Go to go to Google right now. Go to Google and just type in Moderna RNA. Just type in Moderna. So I'm going to do right now. Moderna Software of Life. Here we go. Moderna, M-O-D-E, Moderna. Okay, Software of Life. Everybody do it for a second. Here we go. Take the challenge. On Moderna's website, they are referring to the technology as the software of life. They're calling it an operating system for humanity. They are talking about, this is on Moderna's website. Dr. Whitlock and JT, I'm sorry, you have to go back and sell more incredible tickets. But if you look here, thank you, JT, you're a beautiful man. But so Dr. Whitlock, you see it here. Everybody out here, it says it is an RNA modifying technology. You see this right here, Dr. Whitlock. Do you not see this? You see this here?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. Everybody, literally, right here, it says, just type in Moderna. Everybody, Moderna Software of Life. It literally says on the website, right, this is not on tinfoilhat.com. This is not on clayclark.com. This is not on samsorbo.com. This is not on Whitlock Cosmetic Surgery, right? You're a cosmetic surgeon. Yeah. By the way, if you want cosmetic surgery in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I know you do, he's the highest rated guy in Tulsa, Dr. Brian Whitlock. But it says that. And so Ms. Centner's pointing out the point. She's saying, should we be taking RNA modifying technology into our bodies, into our body to protect ourselves from a virus that is based upon the false models that said that 2.2 million people would die, based upon the false models that created the fear, based upon the PCR tests that were falsely calibrated to inflate the cases, based upon the fact that COVID's 100% treatable with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and budesonide? Should we take vaccines? No. And she looked into it. And if all your listeners go to Google and type this in, type in what's in the COVID-19 vaccines, and then Thrive Time Show.
I don't think we've been me canceled.
Oh, you got to do it. And you type it in.
Listen, I'm on the site and I'm looking at it. And I haven't seen this before. It does. It says our mRNA medicines - the quote software of life end quote. And then above that, it says DNA. It has a beautiful little graphic. It says DNA basically is storage. DNA stores instructions for proteins in the nucleus. Okay, great. Then there's a red arrow to the mRNA little box. And under that, it says software. mRNA is a temporary set of instructions for cells to make a protein. mRNA is made using DNA. And then there's another little arrow and it says protein. And under that, it says applications. Proteins form the basis of life by performing the functions required by every cell. Proteins are made using mRNA. So my question to you is, what if they decide to reprogram the software?
And here's
what's that?
Deal.
Why are they using these terms? Because I know what the terms, right? Unless they're changing the definitions of the terms, right? I don't know who to believe anymore, because they promised me 2.2 million deaths and we're nowhere near that.
Right.
And by the way, the statistics show that our death rate has actually not increased over 2018.
Right.
Which is crazy. I, you know, and there are a couple different, there are not everything is one reason, one answer. There are a couple different answers for that, but it still doesn't negate the fact that part of it is, things didn't pan out quite as they predicted they would for COVID. So if they're wrong about some predictions regarding COVID, could they possibly be wrong about anything else? Well, apparently not, because we're all supposed to just keep wearing masks and not going out of our houses and stuff.
If you look at it in Tulsa and Dr. Whitlock, Dr. Whitlock is a cosmetic surgeon, and he has been a wonderful client of ours for a long time.
Why haven't you done more for Clay?
Right. He's going to be completely replacing my face here. For people, though, that he knows this. I've been on this for like what, about 13, 14 months, hammering this every single day. And these PCR tests, I called a lot of my clients who are doctors, and I said, hey, doctor, I'm not a big PCR guy, but I know the guy who invented the PCR tests, Kerry Mullis, has said on video shortly before his death that, and he died in kind of a weird way. He said that Dr. Fauci can't be trusted, and he worried about the PCR tests being manipulated because you can falsely calibrate them. So I called my doctor friends. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, how many cycles should the PCR tests be on to work properly? I mean, I'm not a big PCR guy. Just tell me. And all the doctors said, well, 17 cycles would get you an accurate test.
Okay, so to clarify what we mean when we say cycles, those are cycles of magnification. And so the idea is you can magnify something, but only so much. So when you're on your camera, you can zoom, but it's only going to zoom so far, and then it loses the capacity to zoom. It loses the ability to zoom. And that's what the PCR tests do, is they magnify through what they're calling cycles. They're magnifying the specimen.
Yes.
To see if it's COVID.
Right.
And sometimes if you magnify too much, it's very difficult to tell the difference, whether it is or whether it isn't.
Sam,
well, they were magnifying over 30 times.
Sam, I'll say this. This is what's crazy. In Tulsa, I called the doctors, and in Dallas. These are real doctors. And you met a lot of them at the conference. You saw them. Yeah. And I go, Doc, what are they calibrated for in Dallas? What are they calibrated for in Tulsa? Dr. Jim Meehan, Tulsa. Dr. Richard Bartlett, former top medical advisor for the governor of Texas for 7 years. Governor Perry. This is a top advisor. Dr. Richard Bartlett, former top advisor for Governor Perry. He says, well, let me check. Turns out in Texas and in Oklahoma, as God is my witness, they're all set to 35 to 40 cycles. So I said, again, I'm not a big PCR guy. I'm an entrepreneur guy. I'm a problem-solving guy. I'm a critical thinking kind of guy. What percentage of the time would the tests be wrong if they were at 35 to 40? And they said, all of them. Like, all of them.
No, 50-50, right? 50% right, 50% wrong. We can't tell because you've doubled the magnitude. It's worse than that because...
Sam, over 38, they're always wrong.
Yeah.
Like over 40, they can't be right. And I have Dell Bigtree, who's going to speak in Tampa. Dell, a friend of mine, Dell actually went through, and Elon Musk did this too. Elon Musk demanded he get COVID tests in his nose.
Yes.
Like over and over, he had 4 in one day, and they're pretty painful. And they're like, positive, not positive, positive, not positive. And he's like, come on, keep them coming, baby. I mean, you know, so all I'm saying is that we've been lied to. The models were a lie. The PCR tests are a lie. They're falsely calibrated. That's a lie. The treatments are effective and they're being banned for reasons that are false. That's a lie. And now you mentioning it is now unethical. You just questioning it. And so here we go.
So let me just sum up my question, because I think this is pertinent, and I think this might help some people. Why are we not allowed to talk about certain things? So there's a guy who put on Facebook COVID-19 vaccine stories. And it was all about adverse effects from the vaccine.
Yep.
And he had 125,000 followers in very short order.
Yep.
And everybody was posting their stories about the adverse effects that they thought that they saw from the shots that people were getting. Now, you know, one girl posted, my dad was fine after his second shot. He suffered a widowmaker heart attack, and the hospital said that would have happened anyway. It had nothing to do with the vaccine. And
just random.
Right. But there are a ton of them, right? But here's the thing. I'm not saying that correlation is causality, right? We can't argue that. However, yes, it's odd that people are having a bunch of adverse issues come up directly after they get the shots. That is sort of odd. But what's even odder, what's even more odd, is that it's not allowed to be discussed on Facebook. That's where my suspicions, my hackles, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Oh, we're not allowed to talk about it. So, and that's where, like, we're not allowed to discuss any kind of election fraud from this last election. The prior election, you were allowed to discuss it. This election, when it seemed really so incredibly blatant.
Yes.
We're not allowed to talk about it. Why not? And that's the thing. And I think this is a George Orwell saying, if you want to know the truth, find out what you're not allowed to talk about.
Sam, I have a question for you, and it's going to seem like I'm being random, but I really have a point here. How old were you and your husband when you got married?
Old.
Were you over? Yeah, I know you just turned 25, but I mean, were you 20s, mid-20s? Were you 30s when you guys got married? 30s, 20s?
I was older than 20.
Okay. And so you've met people who hit on you and gave you pickup lines that at no point make sense, and people that would just lie to you openly about their occupation, right? I mean, you could, right? You've seen the moves. You've seen the moves previously.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some moves. Yes, I have.
Okay, you've seen the moves, and I'm saying it's sort of like your filter, if you have any discernment at all, goes off when somebody's lying. It's just obvious. You can pick up on it. Everybody at the conference was telling me, they're going, I knew something was up, because I couldn't talk about it. I had that, especially the females. They had that female intuition. A lot of women know when they're being lied to, you know? And those women are going, I knew something was up. I just felt, a lot of guys, though, we don't have discernment. A guy could be lying to us and we're like, seems plausible. He probably was a hand model and made millions in the movie Titanic. That makes sense. But women pick up on that stuff. And I'm just saying, a lot of the women at the conference were saying, I knew something was up, because I couldn't talk about it on social media.
That's it.
I didn't know what it was.
I rest my case. That's like, basically, I've got plenty more, but I can rest my case on that fact alone, that we are not allowed to have the discussion, and that Zuckerberg and YouTube, because YouTube took down Del Bigtree.
Yeah.
Took him down. The persecution against Mike Lindell, not political. They were fine with him up until he started talking about election fraud.
Yes.
They were fine with him. They didn't like him. They kept their distance or whatever. But once he started talking about election fraud, no, got to cancel it. And I stopped saying cancel. It's digital assassination. That's all that it is. It's a digital bullet straight to the heart. So when you're not allowed to discuss something, then there's something that they're hiding. Now, I don't know that we know the extent of what they're hiding.
Right.
But there's definitely something there.
I have a good story for you about Mike Lindell. Can you find my Mike Lindell bobblehead real fast?
Okay. Do that, I just want to mention that that you've noticed that there are copycat events. And so I really want to encourage people, have your own event.
Do it.
Have your own event and stream the Clay Clark thing. It's on Rumble, right? Did you put the whole thing up?
Yeah, what we're doing is every day we shot the thing from 9 angles. And so every day the team and I personally edit these videos. We're putting out one a day. Perfect. So people can see it. And then we're also making the digital files available. If anybody wants those, you just email info@thrivetimeshow.com. info@thrivetimeshow.com. And I now know over a dozen churches that I personally talked to that aired the opening portion of the conference where the doctors explained that the models are false, the PCR tests are false, and the treatments are real. They aired it during their church service.
Good for them. Thank goodness we've got some churches standing. I'm so tired of the churches just lying down. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, for crying out loud. Where is the sound mind?
They're here.
Where is the power?
Sam,
I love that.
I want you to see this. Mike Lindell, I'll tell you what a great guy. This guy's fighting against election fraud. And so he's just fighting. He's putting everything. He's an inspiration. The Sam Sorbos, the Kevin Sorbos, the Mike Lindells, there's great people. And what I'm loving about this year is these people are coming to the surface. They're coming to the forefront. People are starting to see the remnant emerge. And Mike didn't have to do this, but he appreciated my wife and I supporting him. So he sent us, we have five kids. So it's expensive. Everything's expensive. You know, everything's $80. You take them out to dinner, $80. You take them to the store, $80. You get gas, $80. Everything's $80. This guy sent us blankets, pillows, and the, look at this, the Mike Lindell bobblehead. Look, Sam, you know you want one of these. Look at this. And he signed it right there, too. Sam, you want one of these, don't you?
I do. I want to put it right next to my Trump bobblehead.
I'm just telling you, I wouldn't have met you and all the great people like you without this. It's a biblical thing. The sheep's and the goats, there's a separation occurring right now. And I'm just honored to know you guys. I'm fired up. But I want to ask you, for my listeners, if they want to listen to you and Kevin, or maybe just you, maybe they say, I don't want to hear Kevin. I saw enough of Kevin on TV. If they want to listen to you, how can they hear more about all things that you're doing? Where can they find your content?
Okay, so there are a couple different sources. We've got SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com, and you can sign up for email news blasts there. We send maybe one a month, more like one every 2 months, because I just can't get everything done. So SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com, and we're going to be we're working on updating that and sort of streamlining it. Kevin and I just started a community over at Locals, which is the Dave Rubin platform. And so that's called sorbos.locals.com. And then of course there's my YouTube, Sam Sorbo's YouTube. And my page is samsorbo.com. Kevin's is kevinsorbo.net. But I want to go back to just briefly this idea that you can have a watch party in your house, stream maybe just the first segment of the Thrive conference. Or something else. Have a little bit of a discussion afterwards. These are things that are worth talking about. You'd be surprised how many people will enjoy an evening spent just enjoying something, but then having that discussion afterwards. People are hungry for that, and they're looking for truth, and they're craving truth. And so if you can bring a little bit of truth into people's lives and just encourage them to think a little bit more, and try to garner some more discernment. And the other thing that I want to say is, you know, wealth is created in the free exchange, right? But wealth of knowledge is also created in that exchange. And the reason that the left tries to silence us is because we learn things when we exchange. And so for people to be emulating your conference is brilliant.
Do it.
It was a great idea, and now they're going to trade ideas, and somebody's going to do something, maybe just a small part of it, better in a different way, right? They'll come with their ideas, and maybe that'll get back to you. You go, oh my gosh, that's a brilliant idea. We should have, you know, 10 people who recovered from COVID up on this day. I hadn't thought of doing that. We'll do that. We'll do that portion of that. And we can only get better as we have those exchanges. But we're raised with this idea that, well, you only have one good idea your whole lifetime.
That's it.
You can't tell anybody about it. Don't share it because people will steal it, right?
Right.
And that's simply not true. When Kevin started speaking in the pro-life community, we wrote a speech together, and I suggested that the pro-life movement was very much like the abolition movement. And I equated, which I still do, abortion to slavery. And in one of his first time speaking of putting that into the speech, we were sitting there and the guy introducing him said, now I want to bring you on a trip here. We're going to equate slavery with abortion. And Kevin looked at me like, he just stole your idea. No. Ideas have a time and a place. And I was thrilled to have the guy because he expresses it differently than I do. The audience got that idea twice that evening, and that was better for them. So we need to be sharing our ideas, especially people who are in truth and being persecuted.
I want to point this out too. And I as it relates to hosting an event, if I can, I just want to give the listeners just a quick step 1 through 5 to do this event.
Yes.
I help sell franchises and build franchises. And I want to tell people how you do it and just give away the secret. Okay. Step 1, everybody listening right now, if you want to team up with us, great. If you want to do it on your own, that's fine. Find a church that seats more than 1,000 people. Super important. If you want to team up with us, we need more than 2,000 for the math to work, okay? But you have to get 1,000 people or more. And you say, why? Work with me on this, okay? You want to get 1,000 people. If you want to get a big event going, okay, you get 1,000 people or more. Step 2, bring in a big name. And you say, well, why? Because the big name, AKA the fame, changes the game. I always tell people as an event organizer, if you bring in a big name, it changes the game. People go, oh my gosh, Justin Bieber's here. I wouldn't want Justin Bieber to have a health and freedom conference, but you get the idea. It's like, oh wow, if it's a bigger name. Now I'm friends with General Flynn, and I can tell you everybody packed out my building to see him. You saw that, Dr. Oh, yes. Whitlock. Everybody packed it. People love him. And he's a truth teller, but he's also well known. So you get a big name, okay? And if you have a 500 person venue, then maybe you get a lesser of a big name, but you need a big name. Step three, get them to confirm a date. All right, confirm a date. Okay. Step four, when you sell tickets or you want to have people pay something, and I'll explain to you why. When people pay something, it shows they're committing to it in some capacity. So like for our event, we do a scholarship. So if you say, I can't afford a $250 ticket, we go, well, how much could you do? And you know what happens is the guy who paid $10 is probably more appreciative sometimes than the guy that paid $250 because that's the last $10 he had or whatever that is. But you want to fill it up. It's super important that you fill it up. And then the final step is give people homework. On the way home, give them tangible print pieces. Everybody who came to our event left with everything we talked about, printouts of everything. They left with a copy of the Believer's Authority Christian book. They left with print pieces. You saw that about the models that were false. They saw who's funding the CDC. They learned about PCR tests. They left with those tangible things. And I'm seeing all over social media, TikTok, Telegram, people are taking photos of that. So if you're listening today and you go, I don't have those print pieces, literally email me info@thrivetimeshow.com right now. I'll give you all the print pieces we made for free. Every print piece. I'll give you every tool for free. What you have to do is find a venue of some kind. And I'm just telling you, the math only works. If you're going to get a big name in there, you got to have about 1,000 people because you just got to pay these people. Let me tell you why. If you bring in a bigger name, they have to get there. You got to, people don't understand just because someone was an actress or someone was successful in some career, they still have to buy an airplane ticket. They still have to pay for a hotel. They might need security and you got to pay for these things. And so everybody out there, you can do it. And I'm just encouraging everybody in Dallas who's doing their events, and the people in Minnesota who are doing their events, big shout out to you. And my final shout out is one guy in Minnesota. I promised him I wouldn't say his name, Sam, but he was frustrated with his pastor that his pastor won't open his church. And he said, I was watching online and it occurred to me that my house is huge. So he called every person in the directory and said, we're going to have church at my house this Sunday. Please show up. And he said, the whole church came to my house. He's like, so now my house is our church. That's in Minnesota. So everybody out there, I mean, you can do something. Just ask yourself, what can you do right now? What can you do?
It's sad because there are pastors who are just going to get, forgive the phrase, left behind.
Oh, wow. Kirk Cameron reference there.
Actually, Sam, my husband's about to start shooting the next Left Behind movie. So
is he?
I didn't intend for it to be that, but I guess it looks like a shameless plug. I'm very disappointed in pastors who are not in the Word, and the Word says not to fear, and they shut down their churches out of fear. Now, here's the thing: forgiveness, right? You shut down your church, but at this point, you really ought to be more clever than that, because here's the deal, and this goes back to my book, Words for Warriors. The left hates the Word, they hate truth, they hate America. I mean, that's the big problem is we have one party, one political party that has a great deal of power right now that actually hates America. And yes, I've said it out loud because it's the truth. Now come to me and show me where they love America. Show me, because I can't find it. So you've got a party, you've got one side that hates the truth. That's the left. The left hates the Word. That's why they lie all the time.
Yeah.
And so we need to wake up and understand that they are actually anti-God because God is the Word.
Yes.
And so, you know, these pastors have to understand that the attack is on the church. Guess what? Okay. Greatest trick the devil ever played, I'm sure you've heard this, was to convince the world that he didn't exist, right? You've heard that.
Yes.
The greatest trick the left ever played, Clay, was to convince us they don't believe in God. They do believe in God. They do. Oh, yes. They believe they are God. And guess what? They are a jealous God.
And I want to point this out.
They will not tolerate us worshiping some other Christian God or the Judeo-Christian God.
I want to say this. Everybody should go to DuckDuckGo right now and type in Marina Abramovich, Spirit Cooking, Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates, like one of his best friends, Marina Abramovich, look her up on DuckDuckGo. You got to look that up on DuckDuckGo images. She's a spirit cooker. She admits to praying to Satan. That's like, that's the person who hangs out with Bill Gates. I don't know if you guys, but I'm not big into taking products or vaccines that are made by people that like to hang out with people that openly worship Satan. Type in Marina Abramovich, spirit cooking. You saw that at the conference. That's crazy. Second thing, Jeffrey Epstein definitely had a temple on his island, and it wasn't to pray to Jesus. So I'm just telling you, these people, not only did they lie, like as you mentioned, they convinced us that they tried to convince everyone that hell didn't exist or that Satan didn't exist. But a lot of these people were outright Luciferians. They're nasty. They're nasty. Now, I've got to ask you, Sam, are you going to come to Florida? Can we convince you to come to Florida? Can we?
My darling, it's just a drive across the state. I'll be there.
You're going to be there? Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, when we get off, I'm going to give you the number there for Miss Centner, as I promised. And I also... I also want to make sure that I get you the VIP media pass, because it'd be so cool if maybe you could, maybe not, maybe you could do a little show live from there or something, because there's going to be 10,000 people there. And I bet you 90% of these people know who you are. I'm fired. Sam, I'm fired up. I get to shake your hand.
I'm fired up too. We'll meet in person and we will shake hands. We might even hug.
Oh,
I'm not going to French kiss you.
Whoa, that's fair. That's just something that Brian and I are going to do after he fixes my face with the cosmetic surgery he provides.
I'm not going to get French kiss you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for teaming up and doing this. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to post this interview as well.
This is the seditious, rabble-rousing, liberty-loving, home of fun, entertaining, and compelling talk. Mojo 5-0.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.